Hey everyone. Welcome to the Stutter Talk podcast. I am Peter Reitzis. Eric Jackson is in the production booth today, and I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Mr. Tavis Smiley. How's it going, Mr. Smiley?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you today, sir?
I am very happy. I had a baby boy a couple days ago, and I'm speaking to you.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I'm very happy to be speaking with you. Mr. Tavis Smiley is a broadcaster, author, advocate, and philanthropist, and hosts the television talk show Tavis Smiley on PBS and the radio show The Tavis Smiley Show, distributed by Public Radio International. In 2009, Mr. Smiley was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world, and Newsweek profiled him as one of the 20 people changing how Americans get their news. Welcome to Stutter Talk, Mr. Smiley.
Glad to be on Stutter Talk. Thanks for the opportunity.
I heard you give an interview recently with Carly Simon, and I was really impressed how openly you talked about stuttering. So could you take us back to your childhood? What was it like for you growing up stuttering?
As I recall from that TV show, Carly and I were both talking about the fact that we, as kids, had stuttering problems. I still do now on certain words. There's still certain words I have difficulty getting out. There are my stuttering tends to happen when I get, I've noticed over the years, my stuttering tends to happen when I get excited about something. When I get excited, it's hard for me to get the words out. And when I get excited, I tend to talk faster, and talking faster also complicates and compounds the stuttering problem. But I had the problem. I've had it since I was a kid, and I've worked hard to get around it in terms of being on radio and television every day. But I was just reading a report just a little while ago about the fact that a lot of kids have stuttering problems when they're young, and over time they grow out of it, or they learn how to manage it a little bit better. I don't know that you ever completely stop being a stutterer, but you learn how to grow through it. You learn how to manage it. I literally was just last week on my TV program speaking to Bill Withers, another great artist. So Carly Simon had a stuttering problem. Bill Withers had and still does. If you go to our website at pbs.org and type in my name at pbs.org, you can see the entire conversation with Bill Withers on our website. And you'll see that in that conversation, Bill still has, on certain words and on occasion, still has a stuttering problem. So there are a lot of people, obviously, who have it. And I don't, again, ever think you get completely out of it, but you learn how to manage it a little bit better.
Now, I saw that interview with Mr. Withers, and I was so impressed at how he stuttered openly and just moved through the stuttering. It was a real joy, and it's a real joy to see such a great role model just talking openly and stuttering openly.
Yeah, I think that people are who they are, and I revel in the goodness and the joy and the light that they can bring to others. And if there's a stutter that comes along with it, so be it. It's really about trying to live lives of love and service to other people. And obviously, being a stutterer doesn't detract anybody who truly wants to live a life of courage and conviction and commitment to the things that they believe in. And Carly Simon is a good example of that. Bill Wood is a good example of that. I try to be a good example of that. But it's a part of life, and we just keep moving forward.
You have mentioned also that your speech, your stuttering, might be mixed with talking too fast. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was saying that I tend to, my stuttering problem becomes more pronounced when I get excited about something. So if I'm in a conversation and my passions really start to rise, the stutter becomes more pronounced. And when I get excited, I tend to talk faster. So the combination of being, I just noticed, I haven't, this is not scientific data, this is just knowing my own issue.
Sure.
And studying myself over the 45 years that I've been living. When I get excited, my stuttering becomes more pronounced. And when I get excited, I tend to talk faster. So what I have to do on my TV show, my radio show, or just in conversation, is when I get excited and I start to stutter and I can't get the words out, I just have to slow down. There was a young man named Emmett Till, who we know for all the wrong reasons. Emmett Till was murdered. He really kicked off the civil rights movement. Before Rosa Parks sat down on the bus, there was a young 12-year-old boy named Emmett Till who was murdered in Money, Mississippi. He was living in Chicago with his mother, went to Mississippi to visit his family for the summer. And while he was in Mississippi, he was accused of whistling at a white woman, which a 12-year-old black boy could not do back in the 50s. He was accused of whistling at a white woman, and when he went to bed that night in the home of his cousin, who he was visiting in Mississippi, these persons came in the middle of the night, ripped him out of the house, took him out of the bed, and lynched and murdered him. They found his body days later when they had to drag the river. They found his body. But for those who know black history, they know that Emmett Till, the murder of Emmett Till, was a huge turn when people saw the photos. His mother, when they got his body out of the river, his mother didn't have a closed casket funeral. She wanted the world to see what they had done to her baby. Emmett's head was 7 times its normal size when they pulled it from the river after being lynched and thrown into the water. I'm telling this story because Emmett was accused of whistling at a white woman, again, was murdered, and that really kicks off the civil rights movement, because when people saw what they had done to this baby, this 12-year-old boy, it really turned the stomachs of people all across the country. It pricked consciences, and the civil rights movement started to gain some traction. A few years later, Rosa Parks sits down on the bus, and then the movement really takes off, and Dr. King steps up front and starts to lead the bus boycott in Montgomery. But this all starts with Emmett Till. I raise that because he was accused of whistling at a white woman, and Emmett's mother, in a conversation with me years ago before she died, said to me that she believed that Emmett was a stutterer. He was a stutterer. And she had taught Emmett, when he couldn't get his words out, he got excited and started talking fast like I do, she would teach him how to just slow down and whistle. And if he stopped and just whistled for a second, it would still his spirit, calming down. He'd whistle for, you know, a few seconds, and then he would could get his words out. But that was her process, showing him how to slow down and just whistle a little bit. I'm not a whistler, but her strategy that she shared with Emmett is the same strategy that I use, which is that when I get excited and can't get my words out, start talking too fast, I just have to slow myself down. And as I slow down, for me, it tends to make the stutter go away. But again, everybody who has a stuttering issue has to, you know, of course, develop their own strategy. But that's a strategy that tends to work for me.
Yeah, I was really impressed when you said on your TV show that you grew up listening to records of Dr. Martin Luther King, and you sort of tried to copy his cadence or his style of talking as a way to deal with your stuttering. And I was taught the same thing. My speech therapist had me think about how preachers and rabbis and leaders talk. Right. And he used Martin Luther King as an example of that.
Well, King is the best example for me. One, because, I mean, I regard Dr. King, as I've said many times, as the greatest American we've ever produced. I could argue you about Lincoln, I could argue about FDR, but I think, for my money, that Dr. King is the greatest American we've ever produced. And when I was a kid and had a stuttering problem, practicing Dr. King's speeches and learning to speak in his cadence helped me tremendously, because King spoke very deliberately. His approach to speech giving was very methodical, and he was a preacher, and so he knew how to get a rise out of the crowd. But King would take his time and enunciate and clearly get his words out and get his thoughts out. And so studying King was a good tool for me to learn how to be exacting in my presentation. And King, obviously, perhaps the greatest orator, certainly one of them that ever lived, but he was very deliberate and very methodical in how he expressed himself. And so listening to his tapes and learning to imitate and copy King was a good lesson for me. Of course, the problem was, you know, fast forward 20 years, when I became an adult, and before I got my own TV show and got my own radio show, I would be a guest. Oftentimes I'd be a guest on this TV show or a guest on this radio show. Before I became a host, I was a guest. And a lot of times, especially in the world we live today, you have to speak quickly. You got to speak in sound bites. If you're on Meet the Press, for example, and you're on with, you know, you're sitting on the round tables I often do on Meet the Press, and there are four people on that round table, you're only going to get, you know, a couple of bites at the apple, two or three bites at the apple. What I mean by that is with four or five people on a panel, you know, it's not like a one-on-one interview like we're having now where I really get a chance to express myself in full and complete thoughts. When you're in a debate or in this kind of, you know, multi-person dialogue, you got to speak quickly. You got to get your points out. You got to make your case because you might not get a chance to do it again. The conversation may end before they get back around to you. So I learned to slow my cadence listening to King. But then when I started doing radio and television, I started picking my cadence up again really fast. One, because I was excited. Two, because I wanted to get over this stuttering problem. But three, quite frankly, because I wanted to get my points out. So I started talking really, really fast to try to get my points out. And over the years, you know, I've gone back to being able to slow down, to express myself, to get my points out. Of course, it helps when you're the host of the show.
Sure.
I can take as much time as I want to get my points out. But I had to, you know, it's been a journey is the point that I'm trying to make.
I just want to remind the listeners, we're speaking to Mr. Tavis Smiley, and he can be contacted at www.tavistalks.com. You asked Mr. Bill Withers where he found the courage to sit with you as a person who stutters and to talk so openly. Where did you find the courage to use your voice and to be a host of a talk show?
Very simple answer, Dr. King. I said earlier, and I meant that, I regard Dr. King as the greatest American we've ever produced. And whatever courage, whatever conviction, whatever commitment that I have to the causes that I believe in comes directly from my abiding faith in Jesus Christ. But beyond that, in real life, in day-to-day living, being exposed to the life and legacy of Dr. King, who, of course, you know, Dr. King was dead long before I discovered him. I was, you know, I'm considerably younger than King, you know, I'm 40 years younger than King would be if he were alive now. So when I discovered him, he was already dead. But his life and his legacy, his entire mission, his whole life's work revolved around three things: justice for all, service to others, and the love that liberates. And when I saw, the kind of courage and conviction and commitment that King had to justice and service and love to others, it inspired me to do the kind of work that I do now, trying to empower people with information that can help them live better lives, trying to help people reexamine the assumptions they hold, trying to help people to expand their inventory of ideas, ultimately trying to get people to live better lives and to not feel stuck living beneath their privilege. But all of that inspiration, all of that courage, all of that comes from the life and legacy of this iconic man, Dr. King. And so, you know, I figured that if King could do what he did against all that he was up against, I wasn't going to let a simple thing like a stutter stop me from making my own contributions.
That's very powerful, and I could talk to you all day, but I will leave it to one last question, Mr. Smiley. I'm very active in the stuttering self-help world, where people who stutter, our family members, the professionals who work with them, get together and we deal with stuttering. If the census, I think the American census says that about 13% of the American population is African American. But if you go to a self-help group for people who stutter, my experience has been that maybe 1% of the people who attend are African American. And we haven't been able to figure out how to do a better job at reaching minorities. Do you have any advice or suggestions for us?
Well, first of all, congratulations and my great appreciation for the work that you and others are doing to raise awareness about this issue. But a couple things. Number one, those of us who have the opportunity to showcase others and to talk openly about our stuttering issue should do that as often as we can. And that's why talking to Carly Simon about stuttering, having Bill Withers on the program as a stutterer, the man who I had as a co-writer on my memoir, What I Know for Sure, is a guy named David Ritz. And David Ritz, who co-wrote my autobiography, my memoir with me, is a stutterer himself. So that showcasing people who have learned to live with this and continue to make grand contributions, you know, every chance we get to showcase these persons who are overcoming this particular challenge, we should do that. So that's the first thing. So I want to, you know, applaud and celebrate you for the work that you are doing.
Thank
secondly,
you.
As you know, there is a stigma attached to stuttering for a lot of people. And I know a young man I'm thinking of right now whose mother, he happens to be a young black man, and his mother had me talk to him not long ago because he is starting to get a little shy because he has a stuttering problem. He's otherwise a wonderful kid, great athlete, good student, but has a stuttering problem, and it's starting to make him a little shy and reserved and hesitant. So I had to have a little talk with him just not long ago to say to him, you know, that I have a stuttering problem too, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is that, you know, all you can do is what you can do. Your heart's in the right place, but just understand that what you're up against inside the black community is a stigma. There's a stigma not just about stuttering. There's a stigma about mental illness. And so black people tend not to go get treatment for mental illness issues. But they don't want to be called crazy or stupid or retarded. So there's so many stigmas inside of black America. A stigma about our stuttering, a stigma about mental health. There's a stigma about the way we look. There's an age-old debate in this country about dark-skinned black people versus light-skinned dark black people. Hmm. And so there are all kinds of silly stigmas, quite frankly, silly stigmas that exist in our community. And we got to keep working at those things. And that's why, again, when somebody who happens to be a person of color like me or like Bill Withers can be open about these conversations, open about these challenges, then it makes the process easier. So the bottom line is don't give up on trying to outreach into these communities. Understand, you know, be culturally competent about the stigma that you're up against and how it's perceived in these communities. But ultimately, keep doing the work that that you've been called to do. And at the end of the day, that's all we can do, is do what we have been called to do.
This is Stutter Talk, and we want to thank you, Mr. Smiley, for joining us today.
Peter, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. And again, congrats on the work that you're doing. You keep up the good work and stay strong.